Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. All week, we have talked about different facets of the gun control issue, the gun control movement, the gun control debate.
Right.
We've talked about gun control itself. We've talked about mental health issues. We talked about public policy yesterday. Mm-hmm. And today we're going to talk about safety.
Right.
Because one of the things that always comes out whenever, you know, following a mass shooting or a school shooting or something mm-hmm. is, you know, we have to keep our kids safe. We have to keep, you know, people safe. And, you know, while we talk about it a lot, there are a variety of things that work toward and surprisingly away
right.
from that same goal.
Right. Right. Yeah, we were what we've been talking about all week is that this whole issue of gun violence,
mm-hmm.
However you want to, gun violence, gun safety, mass shootings, whatever, we're the entire issue of gun violence in our country is a multifaceted
right.
phenomenon. I mean,
right.
there are many pieces to it. And as we've discussed during the week, each piece has many facets.
Right.
So you have facets, and then within each piece, you have many other facets. And we're beginning to learn that. The other interesting issue, and I think we mentioned this yesterday, there's something about this South Florida shooting mm-hmm. that has captured people's attention in a somewhat different way,
right.
in that there's a momentum building
mm-hmm.
to at least discuss this issue in ways that we've never discussed it before.
Right.
And there's a passion here mm-hmm. that we haven't seen before. And when people, for example, there was a group in Florida last night where Marco Rubio
right.
was grilled on the NRA and gun mm-hmm. violence and mm-hmm. gun safety. And one of the, and you're right, that whenever these mass shootings occur, people talk about why did this happen
mm-hmm.
and how can we prevent it.
Right.
And one of the things that comes up is how can we keep our kids safe.
Right.
Okay. The problem with safety is that the discussion is about school safety.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everybody's saying we have to keep our kids safe.
Mm-hmm.
School safety. How do we keep the kids safe? And we have to be very careful because, as with the other issues we've discussed this week, school safety has many facets.
Right.
Okay, and one of the first things people say is, well, we should arm the adults
right.
in a school.
Mm-hmm.
The only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is to have somebody around who can fight back.
Right? A good guy with a gun, right.
Well, in fact, there was an armed guard in that
right.
school
right.
last Wednesday.
Well, right. So to that point, when people talk about school safety,
right.
they usually there's a number of things that they typically bring up. Metal detectors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I remember correctly, there were metal detectors at Columbine,
mm-hmm.
And when Columbine happened, there's you know, they talk about armed resource officers.
Right.
At Parkland last week, there was mm-hmm. An armed officer there. They talk about zero tolerance for weaponry and all of that.
And pop guns.
You know, and there's, you know, kids are expelled from school for, you know, holding chicken nuggets like guns. And
because plastic knives in their brief backpacks.
Right. Or in the floorboard of their car, they have a butter knife.
Right.
So we have these things in place.
We've tried zero tolerance.
Right.
We've tried all these things, okay? You remember when we had the privilege of having lunch with James Garbarino
mm-hmm.
years
mm-hmm.
ago.
Right.
It was right after Columbine. It
right.
was shortly after Columbine.
Right.
And he was he's a social psychologist who happened to be on the study group
mm-hmm.
that tried to analyze why Columbine happened.
Right.
And we were at a conference and it was arranged that we would have lunch with him because we have similar interests. And he said at the time, one of the things in their reports was this whole issue of metal detectors.
Mm-hmm.
And what the study group concluded was, If the absence of metal detectors is the reason for school shootings, then let's put metal detectors in all schools. But that's not the cause of the shootings.
Right.
I mean, the absence of metal detectors mm-hmm. is not why shootings occur.
Right.
And so that is really not a solution. And even if you have metal detectors, if somebody really wants to get a gun into a school, he or she is going to do it.
Well, right. And you know, if we look at the timing of most school shootings, mm-hmm. it doesn't happen at the time when everybody's getting to school.
Right.
So there's usually, you know, even if there were metal detectors out there, mm-hmm. there's no one there manning the metal detectors in that way.
Right.
You know, that's not really
The other thing about school safety, and you and I have talked about this a couple of times this week, when we have to be very careful, because immediately after a shooting occurs, people divide. Remember you said that mm-hmm. yesterday. They divide into camps.
Right.
See, this is further evidence that we should have no guns.
Mm-hmm.
And the other camp says, no, this is evidence that we should have more guns.
Mm-hmm.
So we get into that debate. The other thing that happens is people bring up issues that are not, they're not real issues.
Right.
Or they deflect
mm-hmm.
from the real issues.
Right.
So we have this mass shooting that was done with a semiautomatic rifle, with a kid who might have a history of mental illness. Mm-hmm. We don't know. So there are many pieces to this puzzle. And what do people talk about? We have to keep it out of the hands of those who are mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to ensure gun safety, school safety.
Right.
Okay. Those are pieces.
Right.
Those are pieces.
Right.
But there are many other pieces that need to be considered.
Right.
With the mentally ill, we said the other day, only 7.5% of all of these mass shootings can be linked to somebody with a mental illness.
A mental illness that we knew about before the shooting.
Before the shooting, mm-hmm. right. After the fact, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Everybody's got 20/20 hindsight.
Right.
Okay. But we said you can't predict. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So most of these are not committed. Second, most of these shootings don't occur in schools.
Right.
Okay.
And I think that's an important point, because we tend to, and certainly not to minimize school shootings at all, but when you think about the 340 some odd mass
right.
shootings
mm-hmm.
in 2017, only a fraction of those were at school. I mean, there were ones at churches and sure. at other
shopping malls and
right.
restaurants. And no, of the third, remember we looked at some data a couple days ago.
Right.
Of the 33 worst, in terms of body count,
right.
mass shootings since 1949, only 6 of those 33 occurred in schools.
Right.
There's this famous, the group Everytown, mm-hmm. which is about gun violence. They said there are 18 school shootings
right.
so far this year.
Right.
There were 18 incidents where guns went off.
Right.
But one of them was a girl dropped a backpack with a gun in it and the gun discharged.
Right.
It wasn't what I would call a school shooting.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think another one was an officer had a gun on his hip and a student like reached for it or something and the gun went off.
And it was discharged.
But nobody was hit. Yeah.
They weren't really school shootings. So when we talk about school shootings, how many were like this or
right.
Sandy Hook or whatever? Okay. The other, so one is most of these are not occurring in school.
Right.
So we can talk about school safety,
mm-hmm.
which every parent, grandparent wants to talk about.
Right.
That's a given. But what about the other 27 places? How do we
mm-hmm.
keep churches safe? How do we keep malls safe? How do we
right.
keep stores safe? How do we keep streets safe? So there's a larger safety issue than
right.
just school safety.
Right.
So school safety gets the news, gets the headlines, gets the passion, but let's not forget that the overwhelming majority of these shootings don't occur in schools, they occur in other places.
Right.
Okay. There's another statistic. And this, I'm going to have to fact check this one. On average, 1% of all homicides against school-age children occur on the way to school, in school, or at a school activity, like an after-school activity.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere out there, 99% of all the killings that occur in school-aged children are right. not occurring in school.
Right.
So when we talk about a complex issue, let's talk about the full issue. You know,
right.
we can talk about school safety and arming teachers and arming police and arming this and arming that. We can turn schools into military type mm-hmm. bases. Mm-hmm. But in fact, 99%, and the reason I bring this up is because I was talking to a teacher yesterday, and she said she teaches at a middle school. Her students are terrified. They are truly afraid. Like, we were afraid of nuclear war.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid of school shooters. They
right.
truly are afraid of a shooter coming into their school.
Mm-hmm.
Chances of that happening are almost non-existent. In fact, mm-hmm. I think it's 1 to 1.8 million. I think there's one death for every 1.8 million students.
Okay.
So the chances of a kid really being gunned down in a school are astronomically small.
Right.
I don't mean to minimize anything, but chances are, if you're a kid, if you're a school-age kid, you're going to be killed not in school, you're going to be killed somewhere else.
Right.
Okay. So let's talk about safety broadly, not just in school, because mm-hmm. that's not where the problem is.
Right.
Okay. So, and again, it's one of these complex issues.
Right.
Okay. So then we get to the point of how do we keep... Okay, let's talk about how do we keep schools safe.
Mm-hmm.
And put a machine gun on the front steps? Put a Gatling gun on the roof?
Well, I think that an important piece to this is, as we were saying earlier, we have put things in place. We have attempted to put things in place to ensure school safety.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, as the source that you referenced a minute ago, that about 1% of the deaths of children happen in schools. I think that as that demonstrates, you know, by and large, schools are safe.
They are safe. Safest places in the world.
So it's, you know, we have a hyper reflex
mm-hmm.
that occurs after a shooting or an incident like this. But by and large, you know, schools are safe. I think one of the things that I would like to convey is that we need to be careful of the knee-jerk response of, well, we have to lock schools down even more.
Right.
Because it's, you know, schools are challenging enough for many mm-hmm. students
right.
Because of learning difficulties or because of mental health issues
mm-hmm.
to tighten some of those reins even more
right.
I think would really work to push some students out.
So Bernie, that's what zero tolerance was.
Right.
Zero tolerance was after Columbine.
Mm-hmm.
It was a knee-jerk reaction. By God, we're going to get tough. We're going to make sure this never happens again. You so much as talk about killing somebody,
right.
you're going to be expelled.
Right.
Okay, by God, we are going to clamp down, and this is done. Zero tolerance was a monumental failure.
Right.
Innocent children got punished. The boy who chewed his Pop-Tart into a gun. The girl with the plastic knife in her car. Innocent kids were expelled mm-hmm. and suspended
mm-hmm.
Under zero tolerance. Zero tolerance is a national failure. Everybody admits that.
Okay. Right.
So clamping down even more is mm-hmm. not the solution. We've
right.
tried that.
Okay? Right.
That doesn't work. Okay.
Right.
And if we start arming people, people talk about giving teachers guns.
Right. Yeah. Well,
that scares me to death.
Yeah.
Now you're putting more guns
mm-hmm.
into a school. Every organization in the country,
mm-hmm.
safety, teachers, every organization is saying, don't do that.
Right.
That's a bad idea.
I was talking to a teacher the other day, and she says, you know, I'm in a classroom with, you know, 40 high school students.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a gun, how easy would it be for them to overtake me? And now
where do you keep the gun? Do you keep it in a desk?
Right.
In your purse?
Right.
In your pocket?
Yeah.
Those kids, two yeah. boys, can overwhelm any teacher.
Right. Yeah, so it's, you know, that's not the solution. And
yeah.
and I think as we, you know, if we expand outside of schools, again, we have attempted to do things to encourage safety.
Right.
You know, a couple of years ago, and this is top of your list, a number of years ago, there was a someone raised the issue, and I don't remember who it was. I think it was just a group of parents raised the issue about pediatricians.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. part of what pediatricians would routinely talk to parents about mm-hmm. was home safety.
Right.
They would talk about chemicals,
Tide Pods.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. See, if we could talk about Tide Pods, maybe these.
Right. We're allowed to talk about keep your home safe.
Right.
You know, put plugs in the electrical outlets and lock your knife drawers. And.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that, you know, physicians routinely asked about was, are there any guns in the home?
Right.
And again, it's part of the safety conversation. Well, some parents were really upset about that. And again, here in Florida, a law was passed, a rule was passed that prohibited physicians from asking parents if there are guns in the home.
Right.
And they called it Glock versus Doc.
Right. Glocks versus Docs.
Mm. And so it was, the idea is, again, that is a fundamental right that parents have to own guns, and they should not be asked if they have guns, because that, I'm not sure.
Please what finish that sentence.
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what the issue is.
I thought, oh, maybe Bernie knows.
Well, I think that the issue was that, if you're asking me, then you're implying something, or you're suggesting something, or you're going to,
it's also judgmental. A way to register. It's right. A way of knowing where the guns are.
Right, like, because then that's going to go in the child's chart that there's a gun in the home, right. And then, yeah.
And then the government will know, so when they right. come to get the guns so they can take our freedoms, they'll know that you have a gun
mm-hmm.
okay, in your house, right? That,
yeah.
That was the argument that was used.
Yeah.
Again, it's okay to know that you have a car,
mm-hmm.
or... But it's not okay right. to know that you have a right. gun, even though cars, you know.
Exactly. I mean, you talk to parents about, you know, don't put your little ones in the front seat of the car. You talk right. to them about, you know, rear-facing car seats. You talk to them about keeping chemicals put away. So you can talk to them about all these other forms of safety
issues.
But you can't with guns, despite the fact, you can talk to them about, you know, keeping the pool safe. I mean, for goodness mm-hmm. sakes, you know, there are, I have... I know people that I've talked to regularly who would love to have a pool at their house, mm-hmm. but the insurance company will not allow them to
exactly.
because it's because of the safety issues.
Right.
I know other people who the insurance company will not allow them to have a trampoline
right.
for their kids
right.
because of mm-hmm. Insurance.
And the same goes for guns in schools.
Mm-hmm.
If you start putting guns in schools, the insurance rates are going to go up. They will go up.
Right.
Okay. So for schools on very tight budgets who can't pay the electric bill,
mm-hmm.
now you're suddenly going to increase their insurance
right.
because now they have guns in the school, which increases risks, which they're responsible for.
Right.
Okay. Again, complicated issues.
Yeah. So we have mechanisms in place, whether it's the physician talking to the family, hey, you know, make sure that, you know, if you have a gun, make sure that it stays locked up, mm-hmm. that it's out of the reach of the kids, that they don't see it. But, you know, it's... We're not allowed to talk about that now. We're not allowed to ask those
right.
questions.
Right.
The other thing is, and I had this conversation, I'll put that in quotes, conversation with someone on Facebook mm-hmm. about this the other day. You know, the idea of, you know, gun safety courses.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of gun safety courses out there, but how many people have guns in their home but have never taken a gun safety course?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guy that I'm referring to posted that, you know, his 17-year-old son has a hunting rifle in his room up on the, mm-hmm. on the wall. And he says, you know, and he never touches it. He, you know, it's never touches it unless they're doing something or unless the father knows there's a lock on it. There's, you know, he went through all these safety things. And... this kid has obviously been taught and trained and understands how to use
mm-hmm.
a gun,
right.
This and gun safety. But how many parents do that? How many right. kids have had those kind? So, you know, if we're going to talk about mm-hmm. safety, mm-hmm. why aren't we talking about, you know, safety courses, gun safety courses? Why shouldn't people be required to take gun safety courses to own a gun?
Well, but one of the problems with that is that it's being, when we talk about school safety, many state legislatures are passing, their solution is, we will teach gun safety in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
We'll teach kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the problem.
Right.
Okay, the problem is not the kids, the average fifth grader
right.
doesn't know about a gun because the average fifth grader doesn't have access to a gun.
Right.
Okay. Teaching kids gun safety isn't going to make a school safer.
Right.
But that's what many states are doing now. They're saying, well, the solution to this problem is we have to teach gun safety.
Right. Well, and no. I was explaining it outside of schools. Right.
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 So, that's what I'm saying is let's not, yes, if you have guns in your home, there should be a gun safety course. Mm-hmm. And the NRA teaches these courses.
Right.
The NRA does a good job mm-hmm. of teaching gun safety.
Yeah.
Okay. And responsibility.
Right.
Right. And they do that very, very well. And if you want one of those courses, contact the NRA, and there are plenty of those in your area.
Right.
However, that's not a solution for school safety.
Right.
Teaching gun safety is not a solution for making schools safer.
Right.
And these state legislatures who are doing that, they're patting themselves on the back saying, okay, we're taking action. No, you're not. You're not taking action by teaching gun safety in a school. There's a state that wants to teach gun safety to first graders.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Right.
I mean, it's not teaching gun safety to all the first graders isn't going to keep your school safe.
Right.
So don't congratulate yourselves that you're doing something important when you say you're going to teach gun safety. That's not the problem. That's not the problem. It's not going to be a solution.
Right. So, right.
Let's get away from we're going to teach gun safety. That does nothing.
Right. Absolutely.
It does nothing to keep schools safe.
Right. So when we're thinking about safety. Again, this is with mm-hmm. this complicated issue that it, multifaceted
right.
in the very least. There, just like everything else we've talked about, there's not a specific,
mm-hmm.
easy, direct solution
right.
for the problem.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's not going to be a, you know what, this is the ticket right here. This is mm-hmm. all you got to do. And if we teach this or teach that, then all of those problems are going to go away.
That's right. That's right.
It's just not going to happen.
You know, there was a, I have to mention this, it's sort of tangentially related, but when we talk about how do we keep schools safe, 2 days before the Parkland shootings,
mm-hmm.
that would have been Monday of last week, the 12th, mm-hmm. a school resource officer overheard a kid talk about
mm-hmm.
there's going to be a school shooting. 48 hours later, Parkland occurred.
Mm-hmm.
So the officer said, well, it reported that this kid made this comment. So the FBI went to his home.
Mm-hmm.
They found 2 handguns, 2 AR-15s, and 90 full large capacity magazines.
Mm.
Why not 90 full capacity, large capacity magazines?
Mm-hmm.
2 AR-15s.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether that kid had any intention of doing it. Now, they said it belonged to his brother, his mm-hmm. older brother, who's, mm-hmm. I think he's in the military, or was in the military,
mm-hmm.
that the parents claimed they were the brothers. But here this boy, this 17-year-old boy, had access to 90 large capacity magazines and 2 AR-15s. He doesn't have a history of mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have a history of any. He's had some discipline problems at school, but so do 20% of the students in a school
yeah.
or more have discipline problems. So again, no way to predict.
Right.
But it's availability.
Right.
So how do you keep a school safe? That school, I mean, if he decided to act, he could have done some serious damage.
Well, I think that the best example of how to increase safety
mm-hmm.
came from another story that just came out recently. And I emailed this to you this morning, so I don't know if you saw it yet. But it was from somewhere up north. Now I can't remember the city or the state that it was in. But but many of you who are listening may have already seen this. A grandmother,
yes,
the day before Parkland,
mm-hmm.
The grandmother was reading her 17-year-old grandson's journal
mm-hmm.
and learned that he had a plan to do right. a school shooting. And there were a lot of very specific mm-hmm. things that were written, and they certainly, in fact, right. found materials and weapons and
right.
Homemade bombs and all this. But when she found this information, she shared it.
Immediately shared it.
Right. Immediately mm-hmm. shared it. And the person was arrested and, mm-hmm. And charged, and he hit the police officer trying to resist arrest and everything.
Right.
And so where does that get us to safety? Pay attention to your kids.
That's right.
Pay attention to these people in your life.
How did this home have 90 magazine, large right. capacity magazines? I mean, they obviously, I don't think they were hidden anywhere.
Right. You know? Right. But, so pay attention to your kids. Pay attention to your loved ones, mm-hmm. your husbands, your wife. I didn't mean to plural husbands, but singular wives.
If you have more than one.
Just in case you
keep
have
an eye on
husbands.
All of them.
Because all those guys.
None of them can be trusted.
But, you know, pay attention to them, because that's how you're going to know what's going on. That's how you're going to know and be able to anticipate or predict or to prevent issues.
This was one of the things that came up in the Columbine shooting. That those boys had access, and their parents knew they had access,
mm-hmm.
and they were on Facebook. They had diaries. They had weapons.
Not Facebook.
MySpace. And so, somebody. I mean, surely their parents. But in those days, we didn't know exactly what this meant.
Right.
We were still learning. Now we know what it means.
Right.
There's another issue here that we want to talk about when it comes to safety in schools, and it relates to the way schools really work,
mm-hmm.
and mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
These shootings are typically undertaken
mm-hmm.
by the disenfranchised.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that no valedictorian has ever shot up a school.
Not that I've heard of.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's not the successful students
mm-hmm.
who undertake the, it. In almost every case,
mm-hmm.
it's a disenfranchised student who's mm-hmm. doing this. You can go all the way back, and they were bullied, they were ostracized, they were scapegoats, they were expelled, they were suspended. They were the... go back to James Garbarino again.
Mm-hmm.
And schools act as sorting machines.
Right.
Okay. And some kids rise to the top and some kids fall to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Most, I would venture to say that most of these mass shootings are undertaken by students who have gradually mm-hmm. sifted to the bottom.
Right.
They've been expelled. They've been suspended. They have discipline problems. The boy mm-hmm. in Whittier, California, who mm-hmm. made the comment about, we're going to shoot up a school. He had a history of discipline problems, mm-hmm. as did this boy in South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
He was finally expelled from school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's who goes back. Kids who are angry, kids who are disenfranchised, kids who have lost any hope.
But, well, it's not just kids. The whole phrase of going postal,
right.
You know, comes from the postal office
people
shootings. Were people who were, you know, disenfranchised mm-hmm. or subjugated in,
right.
you know, those settings. Because I think that is somewhat generalizable to,
right.
to other areas.
It's
as
the
well.
Losers. The people who
people
see
who
f- themselves.
At least feel themselves, yeah.
People who see themselves as losers,
mm-hmm.
whether it's lost a job, didn't get a promotion,
mm-hmm.
got disciplined, got kicked out, got bullied.
Right.
People
right.
who see themselves that way.
Right.
It's not about mental illness,
right.
necessarily.
And it's not necessarily even about reality.
That's right. It's how they perceive it.
Right.
Right. It may not be true,
mm-hmm.
but that's how they define themselves.
Right.
Now, if you're looking for a solution for school safety, 80 to 90% of the students in the school do exactly what they're told every
mm-hmm.
day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We've known this for years and years and years,
right.
that if you have a class of 20 students, 16 of them are going to do exactly what they're told. They're going to do their homework. They're going to wear their
mm-hmm.
uniform. They're going to obey all the rules. They're going to get their hair cut. They're going to come to school ready to work.
Right.
20% struggle.
Right.
Okay. So in a class of 20, you got to keep an eye. It's four who are caught.
Right.
All the havoc is created by the same couple of students.
Those four are going to struggle. And of those four, one of them is going to be stand out.
Exactly. And that's
as the most challenging.
Exactly. That's the point. Because of that four, some are going to have ADHD.
Right.
Don't worry about. I mean, they're just.
They're just going to talk out of turn. They're going to gather seeds.
They're going to be a pain, but they're not a danger. Okay. Right. Some are going to have OCD. Okay?
Depression.
They're not going to do anything. But there's one of those four.
Mm-hmm.
Is it would be the target.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is. Is that we don't know what to do with those kids.
Right.
We know what to do. Let me rephrase that. We know what those kids need.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't have systems in place to provide it.
Right.
Okay. There are kids in public schools who should not be there because they are a danger
mm-hmm.
to everybody. They're a danger to themselves and they're a danger to others. We should have a place for those students to be safe
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and to be educated.
Right.
Okay. I'm sorry, that's going to take money.
Right.
Okay. That's not about private companies can educate kids mm-hmm. better than public schools.
Right.
That has nothing to do with this.
No.
The point is 10% of public school students have significant problems.
Right.
Not just mental illness problems. They have self-esteem problems. They have this is how I define myself. They have family problems. That's the group that's doing the shooting.
Okay. Right.
There was a time when Columbine happened that the study group said, well, these kids were the losers
mm-hmm.
and they were killing the winners. In fact, they did do that at Columbine. They rounded up all the
mm-hmm.
athletes and cheerleaders and popular kids, rounded them into the cafeteria. So these kids, these two boys, saw themselves as losers and they were going to get revenge on the winners.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're victimizers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's who they were killing. They told their friends to go home
mm-hmm.
so they wouldn't get hurt.
Right.
They warned their friends not to be there. So if you want public schools to be safe, if that's really your goal, that you want to keep public schools safe, we know how to do that. We already know how to do that. We know what not to do because we've already done zero tolerance. We already know that you don't arm the teachers. We already know that you don't bring police into every corridor of the hallway. We know not to do that. We also know what needs to be done. And what needs to be done is if you want public schools to do this, then you have to be willing to provide what this very small group of high-risk students need. And right now, we're not providing that. We expel kids. We suspend kids. But those aren't solutions, okay? When you suspend a kid, all you're doing is saying, this is a high-risk kid. You know, we don't know what to do with him, so we're going to throw him out. We're going to kick him out. That's what they did with Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know what to do with him anymore, so they expelled him. He wasn't obeying the rules. He wasn't doing his homework. They tried different things. It didn't work, so they expelled him. They didn't expel him to any place. They just kicked him out into the street. And in his case, he didn't have a home to go to because his mother had died. And so he then becomes a high-risk
mm-hmm.
Individual.
Okay? Right.
Because we don't have anything in place for the Nathan Cruzes of the world, for the Klebolds and the Harris. And, is it Nicholas
Cruz.
We don't have anything for those kids.
Right.
Our country doesn't have any interventions for those kids. We know what to do. We don't have any way to do it.
Yeah.
Okay? So if you want to keep schools safe, provide what's needed for us, when I say us, I mean educators and psychologists, to put in place the services that these kids so desperately need. If you expel them, you're creating a problem.
Mm-hmm.
If you just expel them, you're part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're doing right now because we don't know what else to do with them. You and I know what to do with them. And I invite anybody who wants the solution. We know what to do with those kids. We just don't have any means to do it.
Mm-hmm. You're starting to get into... You just did half of tomorrow's podcast.
No, we have so much more to do.
Because tomorrow, in tomorrow's podcast, we're going to talk about some considerations for moving forward,
right.
You know, so now that we've talked about all of these issues and the multifaceted nature of all of these mm-hmm. issues, you know, where do we go from here? How
right.
do, because it, we do have to do something.
That's right.
And the age of inactivity has to end.
And that's what I'm hoping happens with this, because there is some traction.
Mm-hmm.
Politicians are being called
right.
to account. But this whole idea of more guns, it's not the solution. But there's two points to that. When we talk about putting more guns in schools, it sounds like a reasonable solution. I talked to a man yesterday. He happened to, I was out somewhere, and he knows what I do and everything. And he said, well, I think it's a good idea to arm teachers. Now, he does nothing about schools or how schools work. And he said, seems like a good idea to arm teachers. You know, just keep everybody safe. In fact, it sounds intuitively appealing. Well, let's have guns around so we can shoot the shooter, okay? We already have that. We've had it in many of these schools where shootings have occurred. But it doesn't work. And then you're putting more weapons. And part of that is, that's the side saying, let's arm everybody because that's going to keep everybody safe, okay? Right. That's that extreme view that we don't want to fall prey to. We don't want to fall into that, let's arm everybody. The other thing is, let's arm everybody, but let's think about the Washington Navy Yard and Fort Hood. Those were places where there were plenty of guns around, but there were still mass shootings at both places. Okay, these were military bases. Right. So you can't even keep a military base safe. Okay, how do you keep a school? These are all people who are trained in this. Okay?
Right.
The second thing is, or the third thing is, of 160, the FBI cited 160 mass shootings. You know, when we talk about arming teachers, they studied 160 mass shootings. Only one of them was there a successful intervention by a civilian with a gun.
Right.
That civilian happened to be a trained Marine. Okay. There were 20 successful interventions by unarmed civilians.
Right.
Okay. So before you jump to these conclusions, like, I know what the solution is. In fact, the only of 160 mass shootings, only one, and that one was by a trained soldier.
Right.
Okay. So let's stay away from the extremes of let's do away with everything or let's arm everybody. So let's stay away from the extremes and let's use the data that we do have to make to have a discussion. I'm not even going to say I'm saying let's at least have the discussion and let's put everything on the table.
And that's been our goal all week.
That's right.
Is to point these issues out so that we can hopefully foster the idea of having a discussion.
Right.
Because it's only through having these discussions that we're really going to find a path forward.
I was very encouraged. I have nothing against Marco Rubio. He's one of our state senators and seems like a nice fellow. He was booed last night because he refused to make a statement about his NRA contributions. That should happen. I mean, put everything on the table.
Right.
If NRA contributions will affect decision making.
It happened to Paul Ryan the other day. Same thing happened to Paul Ryan the other day, right? A parent asked him about gun safety, and he says, "We're not going to talk about that."
Yeah, we're not.
You know, and it was, you know.
No, and they should be booed, and they should be held accountable. That's like saying, "No, we're not going to talk about school safety. We're not going to talk about mental." No, we're not talking about mental illness. Well, why not? Mental illness is an issue that we need we need to talk about. No, let's not talk about school safety. Let's just leave everything as it is. In fact, that's what schools are doing. What was that three-part thing? Run.
Run, hide, fight, or something like that.
Run, hide, fight. Or is it hide, run, fight?
It's run, hide, fight.
Run, hide. Here's another issue, and I know we're extending this a little bit. That's the safety experts say this is what kids should be taught. First you run if you can.
It's like duck and cover.
Right. We did duck and cover when there's going to be a nuclear explosion in the playground, so hide under your desk.
That's the important. Those desks will survive.
But at least it gave us we were doing something. Right. You know, and that was the idea, that everybody knew we wouldn't survive a nuclear holocaust. But at least it gave us some way of defending ourselves.
Right.
In today's world, it's not nuclear war that we're worried about, it's mass shootings. So it's run, hide, fight.
Right.
That's what school children need to be taught to do. So I was talking to a teacher.
So they said.
Right.
Right.
I was talking to a teacher, and it happened that her school resource officer took that training, because this requires special training. And he went up to her classroom, which is on the second floor, and he said, no, you can't run hide because of the way this is structured, or the architecture of mm-hmm. her classroom. He said, if your class runs, the only place they can run is the most dangerous part of the school.
Right.
Okay. So he said, you can't run. Now, she wouldn't have known that. She right. would have no way of knowing that. Okay.
Right.
So, but they had some training, and she said, no, so you have to hide.
Right.
Okay.
And yeah, it's supposed to be in that order. Run first. If you
get away.
Right. Run. And then if you can't, then you hide.
Right.
And then if you have to, you fight.
Right. And you barricade every room you in, you barricade it somehow. Right. Because if a shooter goes to a door and can't immediately get in, mm-hmm. The shooter knows they only have a certain amount of time, about right. 5 or 6 minutes. And so if a door is not easy to get into, mm-hmm. they're going to go to the next door. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they'll keep going until they get a door that's open. So you hide, but you hide. You don't just lie on the floor. You barricade the door mm-hmm. and make mm-hmm. it difficult for the person to enter. There's no way that this teacher on her own, because she's not trained in safety, to do that. Well, as it turns out, hers is the only school doing this training.
Mm-hmm.
The schools don't have money for this.
Right.
They don't have money to do this kind of training. Mm-hmm. They're not doing anything in our county. I don't think any school has been trained about what to do when you have an active shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we talk about keeping schools safe, but what are we doing to keep schools safe? Mm-hmm. What have we done to keep...
Right.
We've been having mass shootings in schools for 20 years, 30, 20 years. Columbine's coming mm-hmm. up on the 20th anniversary.
Right.
What have we done? We've had zero tolerance, and we've talked mm-hmm. about arming teachers, but we don't teach what needs to be taught in schools. So, again, many facets to this facet.
Right, mm-hmm. absolutely. So in tomorrow's podcast, we're going to talk about that path moving forward.
That's
and we're
going to
talk a little bit more about some of these things, but we're also going to talk about some other considerations, some other ideas. We had a great email from a listener that I just received this morning, and brought out some great points about, you know, the nature of guns, and, you know, she's a NRA member and everything, and it was a fantastic email, and so I really appreciate that. And so anyone else who would like to write to us, you know, let us know what you think.
I want to hear from listeners.
Yeah.
Please send us anything you want to send us.
Let
us know.
And in the email she mentioned, you know, because we really didn't talk about the whole stigma of mental illness and mental health treatment. Mm-hmm. And so it's something that we will be talking about. And in my response to her, I let her know, that's something we're going to talk about tomorrow, because that's part of the solution is to deal with those issues.
That's
so we will be talking about that tomorrow. All right? Calm down. It'll be all right. What are you looking at? This guy. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychRidge podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.